God is good.
All the time.
When I was growing up, churches did Christmas plays. How many of you grew up in a small church that did Christmas plays? Yeah. And kids were in them. They were terrible, but it didn't matter. Why? Because kids were in them. I don't recall having lots of Christmas Eve services over and over like we do today, but back in what my grandson Isaac calls the way back times, I remember the plays. Now, I was the kind of kid who would normally be cast as a shepherd. That just meant in those days that I was generally unimpressive. No speaking lines, never a speaking line. I walked in, I followed a sheep, I stood on the X. I had a towel on my head, a bathrobe on my body, tennis shoes on my feet, and they gave me a big stick to hold in my hand. Yes, my friends, I looked exactly like an original shepherd. In circa 1970s Christmas plays, you normally had three wise men because we all know there's three. How do we know there's three wise men? Because there was a song written during the Civil War that says, "We three kings of Orient are." So we get a lot of that. And then there were always three shepherds, and it kind of balanced things out a little bit symmetrically. And at the end of the Christmas play, we would all stand in our positions, and we would kind of like be a live nativity. Nativity sets. You guys still have nativity sets? I remember these from when I was a kid, too. They were sort of like Christmas plays you kept in your house but didn't have to feed snacks. They had the same cast of characters, but in our nativity sets and in most of the ones I saw, they only had one shepherd. There was just one shepherd. The shepherd was always holding a sheep. And they cast, they molded the shepherd holding the sheep. I'm sure that was like a two-for-one deal. One shepherd was always bad for symmetry, but because you still had three wise men because of the Civil War song, of course, but it did keep costs down on nativity sets. You didn't have to buy lots of extra shepherds. If anyone in the nativity scene was going to get downsized, you knew it was going to be a shepherd. If anybody was going to get de-emphasized, you knew it was a shepherd. If there's anybody who's going to get eliminated to save money, you knew it was going to be a shepherd. Shepherds were always the folks, to quote Rodney Dangerfield, who got no respect. Last week, Carmen pointed out the impossible possibility that occurred in the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it all happened when an angel named Gabriel told a girl named Mary that hope was coming to the world. Today, we're going to look at that one cast of characters from the nativity scene that always seems to get overlooked. And yet, I've got to tell you, they're probably the one group in the nativity scene I personally best and most relate to, the shepherds. Verse 8, that night some shepherds were in the fields outside of Bethlehem guarding their sheep. Ancient Bethlehem is located exactly where modern Bethlehem is. It's in the Judean hills. It's on a ridge about 2,500 feet high. It's about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Over the years, I have spent some time in Bethlehem. I'll be back there next month. 1,000 years before the first Christmas, there was a shepherd boy in Bethlehem by the name of David. Bethlehem has always had shepherds, and Bethlehem has always had sheep. Now, in Aurora, B.C., sheep were a major crop. We don't think about that at all today. I mean, you've never driven by somebody's farm and think, boy, those people must be loaded. Look at how many sheep they have. I mean, we just don't think like that. But back in the first century, things were different. Sheep were wealth on the hoof. Stock split through reproduction. Flocks in different locations was a diversified portfolio. Sheep were pretty cheap to raise. They reproduced for free. You free grazed them. But there were a couple of problems with sheep. First of all, sheep are dumber than a box of hammers. And second of all, there were big predators in Israel at that time. We know there were bears. We know there were lions. They all enjoy sheep. Enter shepherds. Shepherds spent the warm months living exposed, a lot like what you would think of as an American cowboy on a cattle drive. Shepherds had to fight off predators and rustlers. They had to find water and pasture for their sheep in an area that isn't just loaded with water and pasture. Now, shepherds didn't make much money. They were generally young. They had almost no shot at upward mobility. Being a shepherd was a dead-end road, period. Verse 8, that night some shepherds were in the fields guarding their sheep. I love the word that night because you get this feeling, it's just like any other night. That night. One of the things I love about Christmas is it sort of sneaks up on everybody. Nobody really saw it coming. And some of you may say, well, what about all those prophecies from Isaiah? You need to understand those happened centuries before this. And nothing had happened to that point. Christmas sort of blindsided everybody. The shepherds were out on just that night, and they were just taking care of business, like they died and went to a Bachman Turner Overdrive song. Verse 9, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of God's glory surrounded them, and they were terribly frightened. Suddenly refers to something that blindsides us, something that comes out of nowhere. On a night that seemed shockingly like every other night, an angel appeared. And it says the shepherds were surrounded by the glory of the Lord. Now, in the Greek language, an angel is not defined by where they come from, a la heaven. Angels are defined by what they do. So an angel is simply a messenger from God. So any of you could be an angel. Now, some of these messengers are earthly messengers. Some of these messengers in the Bible have heavenly origins. The heavenly angels tend to scare people. Because every time an angel shows up, what do they always say? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Why would you tell somebody to fear not? Because they are fearing. So shepherds show up. The glory of the Lord surrounds the angels show up. The glory of the Lord surrounds the shepherd. Glory in Greek is doxa. It's from where we get doxology. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. The word specifically signifies the self-revelation or the self-manifestation of God to humanity. So when God shows up, what we see is glory. So glory is essentially who God is and what God has done, and it's revealed in whatever package God wants to wrap it, but God tends to wrap God's self in the package of radiance. Verse 10, but the angel said, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. Now, heavenly angels in the Bible tend to scare people, but that's not the point here. The point is not the angel. The angel is simply a messenger. What is important is the message and who the message is being delivered to. And so when I hear this message, good news of great joy, I think to myself, what would be good news to a Jewish shepherd boy in Bethlehem? In a dead-end job, in a dead-end life, what would be good news? And then I think, what would bring great joy to a shepherd boy in Bethlehem in a dead-end job and a dead-end life? And I thought about these three things this week. First of all, knowing that they mattered. Just knowing that they mattered. Possibly living in a culture that considered them to be completely expendable. You remember King David's dad, Jesse? The prophet came to town. He said, Jesse, one of your sons is going to be the next king of Israel. Can you bring them all out? He didn't even bring David out. He didn't even bring him out for the audition. He didn't even think it was worth the prophet's time to take a look at the kid. Why? He's a shepherd. I think it would be good news to a shepherd and bring great joy to know that they actually mattered and that most of all, they mattered to the Most High God. I think knowing that those the world may consider nobodies are somebody to God. Have you ever just felt like nobody cares? Have you ever just felt like nobody cares if you're around or not? Here's an old joke. It says, if you don't think anyone cares if you live or die, just don't make your mortgage payment for 4 months. But You ever just think, I wonder if I even matter? Well, this news reminds the shepherds who maybe the world thought were nobodies. You guys are somebodies. The angels were sent with a message for you. And thirdly, knowing that God was not just concerned with the likes of angels and kings and prophets and generals and emperors and priests, but that God's concerned about regular people too. People like you and me. I don't know about you, but I didn't come from a long line of kings. A lot of wealth. I didn't come from people that had a lot in this world. My name was handed to me like your name was handed to you, and we just do the best we can with it. You see, if the good news is only for the important people, if the good news is only for those that are on the news, if the good news is only for those that have 10 million Twitter followers, if the good news is only for them, then what's the good news for? But it's for regular people like you and me. Verse 11 and 12, a Savior has been born tonight in Bethlehem, and you will find him in a manger wrapped in strips of cloth. The Greek word translated Savior does not just mean provider of salvation. It's a more complex word, has other flavors in it. It also means the deliverer, a protector, and a preserver. So if you think of this in a very literal way, the shepherds are the saviors of the sheep. The sheep wouldn't last 10 minutes in the Judean hills without a shepherd. The shepherds were the saviors of the sheep. So the angels announced to the saviors of the sheep that the savior of the shepherds had arrived. And that's good news, no matter how you slice it. Verses 15 and 16, and the shepherd said, come on, let's go to Bethlehem and see this wonderful thing for ourselves. And they ran to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. One thing you'll notice when you go to Bethlehem, let me tell you just a little bit about Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about the size of Belleville. It's probably bigger than it's ever been at any point in history. It's a city with a wall around it. It's on the West Bank. It's under Palestinian control. You literally have to go through a checkpoint to go to Bethlehem. I remember the first time I went into Bethlehem. Israel is so first world, and you went into Bethlehem, and it just wasn't. It was almost like you went from color to black and white. And the only thing I could describe it, and some of you who are my age and older, did anybody ever go from West Berlin into East Berlin during the Cold War? If you did, you know what it's like to go from somewhere that's in color, and then you're in somewhere that's just like you're watching something that just turned into black and white. Bethlehem is an incredible city, but Bethlehem is a place that isn't all that big. And in fact, the people must have lived, it was a small village back then, the people lived close. And so when you go to Bethlehem, if you visit the shepherd's fields, which is where they commemorate that the shepherds came down and the angels, I mean, it's just a few hundred yards away from like the Church of the Nativity. So what I'm telling you is when the shepherds ran into town, they didn't have to be in great shape. It was just going to be a few hundred yards, top. So the shepherds run into town. But what I love about this is the angels didn't just announce the good news to the shepherds and say, boys, take my word for it. They invited the shepherds to go see this impossible possibility for themselves. And the shepherds didn't walk. They ran into the village, and they found what the angels had said to be true. You see, the proclamation of Christmas is good news that brings great joy. And my invitation to you is not to buy whatever you think I might be selling. It's to run to Bethlehem, look into the manger, and experience hope beyond anything you could ever imagine. If you go to Bethlehem, if you look in the manger, I want to suggest to you the child is there just like the angel said. Look into the manger and discover that you matter to God. You matter to God. What you're feeling right now matters to God. What you're struggling with right now matters to God. What you're thinking about right now matters to God. You matter. And there's a baby in a manger to prove it. Things are not so hopeless after all. We may wonder why the shepherds wouldn't have presented the Lamb of God, Jesus, with a lamb. Wouldn't it have been awesome if the shepherds would have come and they would have taken a lamb and presented the lamb to Jesus, the Lamb of God? Can you imagine how many millions of sermons preachers would have preached off that? I mean, if that would have happened, preachers would have mounted that Harley Davidson and rode it across America time after time after time. And we think, I wonder why the shepherds didn't bring a sheep. Well, it's pretty easy. Because the shepherds didn't own the sheep. A lamb would not have been a shepherd's to give away. And if you want any good advice at Christmas season, you really can't give Jesus a hot Christmas gift. You can't really steal something and then just give it to Jesus. It wasn't the shepherd's sheep. So what did they give to Jesus? I think there's three things. And I want to suggest this is the three things we have to give to Jesus. I mean, Jesus doesn't want anything you can buy on Amazon. What can we give to Jesus? I think the first thing we can give him is just our time. The shepherds took the time, they punched out, and they ran to where the angels had said, and they looked at Jesus for themselves, and they worshiped him. They took the time. I want to ask you for a little bit of your time at Christmas. We're going to do 7 Christmas Eve services, 7. They're all identical. We need greeters and we need ushers for all 7 services. See, I'm really busy at Christmas. Everybody's busy at Christmas. So we're hoping some of you will give the gift of your time. You can pick one of the 7 services. Sign up at the wreath just outside at the desk with Carrie. And we've got some slots. We need some help. Let me tell you, greeters matter. There will be people who will come to church on Christmas Eve who have not been in church in decades. I run into them every year. And a lot of these people honestly don't know if the church is going to fall down. And what they really are wondering is, will I be welcome? You as a greeter will be the first face they see. And if you got a smile on your face, and if you got a hand extended, you're telling people you are welcome in the house of God. We need you to be those greeters, those welcomers, those who are in the house of God and usher God's people in. So I just want to encourage you. Would you give God 1 worship service that you don't attend to be there? You just come to greet and to welcome. I think you'd be pretty powerful. The other thing I'm seeing on social media is that some people are alone this Christmas. They may have someone who's deployed. They may have had significant loss. Their family may not be able to come in. But whatever the case is, they're feeling very alone. Here's what I want to say. If you are really feeling alone this Christmas, why don't you just come on Christmas Eve and sign up for every single service and just hang out with us all day? I'm serious. We're here all day. I mean, all day. I mean, like they bring sandwiches in. And so why don't you just come and hang out with us? You say, well, I'd really like to sit at home and feel sorry for myself. Stop it. Just come and hang out with us. You can feel sorry for yourself with us. But just volunteer and put a smile on your face. I guarantee you it'll be great. So give up your time. 2, we can give Christ our troubles. I said, why would Jesus want our troubles? I don't even want my troubles. Your troubles are why Jesus came. He is interested in the things that weigh on you. You can give that to him. You say, well, that's not much of a gift. How's it not a gift if you came to receive people's troubles and then they gave you their troubles? That's what he wants. A lot of times we think Jesus only likes us when we're on our A game. Did you know Jesus loves you when you're not? And you can bring your troubles to him, and he considers it to be a gift. And then number three, give him your trust. Jesus is trustworthy. You may have had people betray you. You may have had people let you down. You may be stinging and reeling from that. I just want to tell you, Jesus will never let you down. He doesn't know how to love badly. He doesn't know how to treat you wrong. Give him your time, your troubles, and your trust. Verse 17. And then the shepherds told everyone what they had heard and seen. And everyone who heard their story was astonished. You know, it's interesting to me. At the resurrection, Mary Magdalene and the women are the preeminent evangelists of the resurrection. But the shepherds are the preeminent evangelists of Christmas. They told everyone, not just those they thought wanted to hear it. They told everyone, and the text says, and everyone was astonished. It blew their minds. You see, evangelism is not a big, scary word. It's simply telling everyone what you have seen and what you have heard and the wonderful things God has done in your life and is inviting them to share in it. I'm inviting you this morning to do some shepherd things and to tell everyone. I got a text this week by someone who attends here. And they said, Shane, I felt a God ping to invite my entire family to Christmas Eve services, all of them. And they stepped out in that. And at first, the returns didn't look like they were coming in real good. You guys know what I'm talking about? But after a while, the whole thing began to turn. And I got text after text after text from this person because people were saying yes. People were telling their stories. You see, when you invite someone, you give God an opportunity to do something incredible. It's like putting a seed in the ground. You give God a chance to do something really cool. So let me give you two shepherd kind of things that I'd like to invite you to do this week or this Christmas season. First of all, I would like to invite you to read the New Testament through with me in this coming year. And I would like to invite you to invite some other people to read it with you. How many of you have read the New Testament through with me this year? Raise your hand. We're in Revelation now. We only got one book. We're about to do this. Next year, we're going to reread the whole New Testament. We've got new Bibles. They're in the bookstore. They're $15.99 if you want a new one. They've got a reading guide that pulls out. If you want to use your own Bible, you can. You can get a guide at the Sync Center. But I'm going to invite you to read the Bible through with me. We're going to read the New Testament this year, half of the Old Testament the following year, and the second half of the Old Testament the next year. So in 3 years, we're going to read the Bible completely through, cover to cover in 3 years. How much time's involved? 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week. It's about 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Tiny amount of time. I'm going to invite you to take this journey and to invite some other people to do it with you. If you're really not sure about it, just pray about it. Say, God, would you have me read your word this year, or do you got other things you would rather me do? What do you think the Lord's going to say? No, no, no. You need to watch more Netflix this year. No, that's what you need to be doing. The second thing I want to invite you to do is simply help us invite people to the Christmas Eve services. Just help us invite people. We have some cards that we've just got out. They're little business-sized cards. Just got a logo on front. On the back, it gives all of our Christmas Eve service times. And so you just hand them out. So if you go to lunch today, just leave it with your tip, assuming it's not a quarter. If you only leave a quarter for a tip, please do not leave one of our cards. And then just pass these out to people. Just invite them to our Christmas Eve services. Some people find this to be really intimidating, but I thought I'd show you how easy it is. Mike, could you come on up here a minute? Mike and I are going to demonstrate how easy it is to hand out a Christmas invitation. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Here. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Wooten, your associate pastor. like me, was cast as a shepherd in every Christmas play he was ever in. Verse 20, the shepherds went back to their flocks, praising God for what they had seen. For they had seen the child just as the angel had said. When the show was over, the shepherds all went back home. They all went back to work, but they would never be the same. And here's what I want to tell you. When you truly encounter God, you can never be the same. You can never be the same again when you truly encounter God. It changes us. One of the best things about Christmas are unexpected miracles, especially those that occur for the least of these. I was the recipient of one of these miracles as a boy. And in it, a simple act of grace turned a waitress into an angel and a boy into a shepherd. I recorded this story in my last book. I just called it a Christmas miracle. Growing up, the child of a pastor evangelist involved its share of uncertainty. And we lived many places, but one thing that remained constant throughout the years of my childhood was that we went home for Christmas. There were years we couldn't afford many gifts, but we always arrived in Sunfield, Illinois for the Christmas program at the Methodist Church. After the program, Santa would come out. And I always wondered how he knew I was going to be there, being from out of state and all. But each year I received a gift. The gift was never anything real nice or expensive, but when it was handed to me, I knew that no matter what happened in my life, this place would always be my home. And these people would always be my family. One early 1970s Christmas, we were just barely able to afford the pilgrimage from Texas to Illinois. We stopped for lunch at a restaurant along the interstate called Tasty World, a companion to Days Inn motels, as I recall. I went in and intently gazed at the menu. We were all looking at it when Dad broke the news that we could not afford soft drinks. When Dad ordered the pitcher of water, my face, my 9-year-old face must have shown the horror at hearing these words. But we had long since learned to make the best of things. But when the waitress returned, she said chipperly, "Here is your water," and she poured it into our empty glasses. I picked up my glass and I took a drink, and my taste buds began to soar. It was not water at all, it was Team, the grandparent of Sprite. Team, the lemon lime soft drink with delicious bubbles and wondrous bouquet. Oh, it tasted so good and so unwater-like. A little later, the waitress asked if we would like another pitcher of water, and she returned with another pitcher of Team. And then she winked at me with a little twinkle in her eye that revealed we had a secret. I don't remember what Santa guy gave me for Christmas that year at Sunfield Methodist. I don't remember what my parents gave me for Christmas for that matter. But I do remember the most wonderful gift I've ever received. A pitcher of Team at a Tasty World restaurant from a waitress I didn't know, in a town whose name I do not remember. Perhaps baby Jesus on that special day turned the water into Team just for a little boy going home for Christmas. Christmas reminds us that shepherds and angels still come in all shapes and sizes. Some shepherds sleep under the stars, and others sleep in the back of their parents' station wagon just trying to get home for Christmas. Some angels light up the sky and sing in heavenly choruses. And some angels take orders in restaurants and listen to Merle Haggard. Christmas offers more hope than we ever imagined, because the best gifts we receive are not those that reflect what we have, but those that delve into that for which we hope. I like shepherds. I just do. And I've always liked hanging around shepherds. I'm from a long line of them. Shepherds remind us that God has a soft spot for ordinary people. People like you and me. And knowing that God will redeem our time and soothe our troubles and validate our trust is something that should give us hope. Hope beyond anything we're thinking, anything we're struggling with, or anything we're feeling. God loves you. You are important to God. And that is the message that gave the shepherds such great joy. Would you pray with me? Great and mighty God, we love you and we thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would do your work in us, and that you would use us for your glory. Dear God, thank you for the message that came to the shepherds. And thank you for the message that comes to the likes of you and me. And we pray it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Today, as we close, we're just going to have a little time of prayer as we get ready for Christmas time. Inside the bowls up at the top as well, I believe there are some invitation cards. And it looks like those got hit really hard during the first service. We may need a few more of those. If we run out of invitation cards, go back to the Sync Center or the Welcome Center. But we're going to invite you to come up and just pray over these cards. Let's just pray that there's seeds that we're just going to sow to everyone. And we're going to pray that some hits on good ground and brings forth much fruit. So I invite you to pick up a card or as many cards as you'll hand out this week. And let's just do a shepherd thing. Let's invite. And let's just see the returns that God gives us into his kingdom. Would you stand as we sing together?